I will not stay at this tea party of lies!
Oh, hello, I'm Mr. Bear. I read the Telegraph.
I don't mind it in the park.
How do you mind me now?
Hello, and welcome to How Do You Like Me Now, the podcast where we go back and relive the golden years of kids' TV. I'm Will, with me as always is Liz. Hello, Liz.
Eto, Will.
Eto, Liz, yes.
That's what the Teletubbies say, you get that right?
Yeah, I'm with you, I'm on board.
You're looking at me very confused.
Well, it was unexpected. A lot of the times you use this little bit of pre-show banter to unsettle me and throw me off. And that, I think, normally it's through something a bit strange or reference to an ad campaign, perhaps from many years ago.
Yeah.
But this was the first time, I think, in a while that it's been directly related to the episode, and that really has thrown me for a loop. I wasn't expecting it.
I see. That's how you remain unpredictable. Is if I start doing too many things where I'm deliberately throwing you off, then you get used to that. So now I'm throwing you off by doing exactly the thing that I should be doing, which is talking about the Teletubbies.
Keep me on my toes.
I've got to try.
So this week we're back. We're watching the Teletubbies.
When you just said then, this bit of pre-show banter.
Yes.
Sort of implies that we, like, plan to have a bit of banter, which I'm very much against the concept of banter.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think people might think that I like banter, and maybe I did once, but now it seems to mean something else.
Yeah, the meaning of banter's been corrupted.
It has very much, very much.
Now banter is a shorthand for just, like, attacking people.
Knobs.
Yeah, knobs, that's it.
Yeah.
It's shorthand for dickheads.
You see it on dating shows.
Mm-hmm.
One of them be like, oh, I like a bit of banter. Can you take a bit of banter? Like, can I take it? Like, banter implies that it's fun for all parties, right? Banter, the meaning of which is that there's no ill intent. You can't say, can you take the banter? If they can't take it, you've done bantering wrong.
Yes, what you've done is insult someone.
Yes, you've just gone and been a prick. Where do you think are the main places that banter happens?
I think banter would happen normally with, like, a group of lads. So I think places like Lad Bible.
I'm gonna say outside of Wetherspoons.
Yeah, I think outside and inside as well.
And inside, depends on the time of day.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely I associate it with Wetherspoons. I think there's banter about Nando's, but once you get in a Nando's, you just eat your chicken and then leave.
Yeah, your focus is on the chicken.
Yeah.
I tell you where I think would have been the hot spot of banter, and that would have been a Yates's. A Yates's
I don't
wine
think
lodge.
I've ever been to a Yates's Wine Lodge.
Well, Yates's, I believe, was like a sub-brand of Wetherspoons, which was then, like, engulfed by Wetherspoons.
Right, okay.
And, I mean, Yates's were kind of like down-market Wetherspoons. Like, I
Yates's were down-market from a Wetherspoons?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't think
yeah.
anything was down-market from a Wetherspoons.
Well, now it's not, because right. that's what happened. I think they... Yates's.
What about an All Bar One? What was that?
Ooh, All Bar One. All Bar One had, like, delusions. I think this is the thing. Someone somewhere thought All Bar One was a bit fancy.
Right.
And I don't know who that was, because it certainly wasn't anyone who drank in there, or anyone who worked there, or anyone who ever went past one. Mm. But someone somewhere, I presume in the marketing department, thought an All Bar One was a bit fancy.
Right,
a
okay.
bit up there. Anyway, we're not here Good. To talk about All Bar One. We're not
banter done.
That's the banter section completely.
Tick off the banter section, will you? Will the big whiteboard in which we plan out all of the things that are going to be in the podcast.
As yep. you know, we don't plan these podcasts.
No, we haven't even got a whiteboard, have we?
No,
right.
We have not.
Don't bother ticking anything off then.
We're here to talk about Teletubbies,
and I think somebody should take the. You know, the fall for why we watch this shit.
Would you like to be that person?
I think I have to, don't I?
Yeah.
Honestly, it felt... I don't think of myself as the Teletubbies generation.
No?
That's not a grandiose claim. I just think it was on when I was still a child. Like, I was 10 when it started.
Mm.
But I thought of myself as massively too old for it.
Yeah.
But I did have a sister who was more of the age to watch it. But it's made for such young kids that even she was quickly, you know, like, out of it. It's quite unusual in that. So I think, like, there are going to be people out there that watch Teletubbies. But I think it's quite a narrow, like, window you have to actually enjoy it.
I think you're right. But I seem to recall as well when this started, because I was 11 when this started, so I was definitely too old for it, and I didn't have younger brothers and sisters, so, you know, no reason for me to watch it.
You didn't have to watch it.
But I seem to recall that this kind of swallowed the national dialogue for a while. This was in... No one could stop talking about this.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it was huge. Mm. It was absolutely huge. And I don't know why. Looking back on it, it's impossible to understand. It's impossible to understand. The only thing I can think is that it presents itself as though it were the most obvious thing in the world.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think I do.
Like, if you try and describe what Teletubbies are, you sound like you've gone mad. But when you're watching it, it presents everything as though it were totally, like, normal. It offers no explanation for itself.
No. It really doesn't.
It doesn't think, you know, we can't just put in a random section that makes no sense with the other sections because what kids will need it explained. It goes, no. Do you know what? You're having it. Whatever we think of, whatever comes out of our brains, that's what you're having.
Yeah.
And it works because it's for such young school kids that all they really want is a bit of noise and colour, and it's fine.
Well, that's it. And I think this is the thing. It smacks of a viewpoint of someone saying, explanations are for the parents.
Yes.
We're not making the show for them.
We will give the parents nothing.
Give them absolutely nothing. If anything, we'll engineer things to annoy them further.
I definitely felt that. We'll get onto that. But I definitely feel they went, let's not just not put anything in for the parents. Let's actively try and work against them. Because I think it's quite a nice thing when shows are so good that the parents enjoy watching them as well. I think there are certain times when, especially with like films, they put in jokes that are purely for the adults and not the kids. And I think you can go too far with doing that because obviously the adults that are making it are having so much fun. But I think it's rare to go too far with that. This goes too far the other way. We should get into it though, people will remember stuff about it, but there was stuff that I hadn't remembered.
No, yeah, same here. So
we watched the first ever episode, which is called Ned's Bicycle from 1997. And then we also watched The Naughty Bee, also from 1997, but that is series 2 technically, I believe.
Right.
Things are a little bit confused.
Okay.
They made so many episodes. No two sources sort of say call them the same thing. Yeah.
Right, okay. So there's no sort of definitive expert view on when these were put out there. But it doesn't matter. Ultimately, this is a show that I imagine has not developed much.
Well, they made it between 97 and 2001.
Right.
And so much of the footage is reused from episode to episode. It's like they don't even really need to film anymore. They can just insert little random bits and just keep making it forever. So yeah, between 97 and 2001, I don't think it's developed any. It has been relaunched.
Oh, right.
In the last few years. We'll talk about that later, shall we?
Yes, let's get on to that later. Right now, let's talk about these episodes, though.
This iconic opening.
Yep.
Where the sun comes up and there's a baby's face in it.
There's a baby's face in the sun.
Yeah.
This, to me, seems like, especially now in retrospect, one of those things that people just lost their shit over. People were so deliriously happy with this whole baby in a sun thing.
What do you think? What do you think was the reaction to the sun?
Delirious happiness. People latched.
People were out in the streets and they were going, finally, a baby in the sun.
Well, I was watching a thing the other day, like one of those like panel shows or something, and they brought someone on and they were like, oh, who are you?
Yeah.
And they were the baby from the sun.
Yes.
And, you know, they're now an adult. And people.
Yeah, so a woman, it was a, 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 you know, she's in her early 20s now.
Yeah, and she was the baby in the Sun and Teletubbies. And I'm thinking, what else do you have that on where it's just a baby and then 20 years later we're still getting that person on TV to go, yeah, I was the baby in the Sun.
Well, she became iconic.
Well, this is what I'm saying. People lost their minds at this.
It
became iconic.
I don't know what you mean by lost their minds. Nobody lost their minds, just became an iconic image. Like the girl who did the test card. That woman used to get some cachet off of that, didn't she?
Did she? I don't remember her doing a walk-on on like a panel show in the 90s.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Like the Generation Game with this week's special guest star, the girl from the test card.
Definitely happened. I've seen it. I saw her on something. Right? And that's, you're describing the thing that I saw.
Okay, all right, well then I'll hush my
mouth. It wasn't the Generation Game, but I saw her walk on, and people be like, oh, I wonder who she is. She's the girl from the test card.
Right, okay. Fair enough. Well, I stand, it's probably Telly Addicts or something.
It probably was, because I was a big fan of Telly Addicts.
Yeah.
Despite the fact I had Noel on, I loved Telly Addicts. And we should talk about this place that they're in, this tubby land.
Yes, this very weird, it's like a dell with like a domed.
Not the Chasing Pavements.
Not the Chasing Pavements, not the singer.
Just it's a grassy knoll.
Yes.
They live in a grassy knoll.
They do. With rabbits and like.
I've got a lot of interesting facts to tell you about this whole place.
Please do.
So, yeah, it's made to look like a kind of idyllic place. Mm-hmm. So it's all filmed outside. The actual place where it was filmed, the lady whose field it was got annoyed with people coming to visit. You know, she never made it a tourist attraction, but because it was known that it was filmed there, people used to, like, you know, climb her fences and like come to try and see this place where the Teletubbies was filmed, even though their main like house structure that they were in wasn't there,
yeah,
they still wanted to come and see it. So she flooded it.
Wow!
And I, it's the most petty sort of like Middle England thing. But I love the fact that she did it because, to be honest, when you look at her, it seems like exactly the sort of thing that she would do.
That's incredible. That is just amazing to have that reaction. Of people, not like thinking, I need to get a taller fence, put up a trespassers will be shot sign. No, flood it. Don't tell them at all, though. That's what I would do. Don't tell anyone that you flooded it. Let them hop that fence in the middle of the night and land in the water. This is the thing, because you get other sets, like, you know, in New Zealand, they preserved the Shire sets from Lord of the Rings and their big tourist attractions. You know, they kept all those growing and everything else, but no joy for the Teletubbies Valley, or whatever it is.
Well, I could actually read some of the explanation of the Teletubbies, because I think, obviously, the actual show, there isn't much language. You do have a narrator, but you don't have a lot of discussion of what the Teletubbies call things and stuff.
Yeah.
But it says here, the main shelter of the four Teletubbies is an earth house known as the Tubbytronic Superdrome.
Sorry.
That's the official name.
The Tubbytronic Superdrome?
Yes.
Right, because my first question was, is this a spaceship?
Right. So the Teletubbies are based on two things. Toddlers, the way they sort of like their size and their proportions, and astronauts.
Okay, I really thought you were going to say televisions and tubby people.
Well, yes. The televisions just get added in there. Because obviously they have the antenna on their head.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the creators, and this was created by Ragdoll, so the people that brought you Rosie and Jim and Tots TV.
Oh, wow, okay.
This is one of theirs.
Right, okay.
Somebody was watching astronauts and thought that the way that they were moving was kind of childlike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of their big suits and because they're sort of slowly exploring things. And so the idea of the size and the proportions of the Teletubbies was that they would be sort of like toddlers, but also astronauts. So that's why the inside of their Tubbytronic Superdrome looks kind of futuristic and, you know, extraterrestrial.
Okay. I mean, to be honest, I think they've done a good job in getting that view across.
Yeah.
It does then seem cruel to make these people in these giant suits climb up and down hills every episode.
Yes. Utterly exhausting. So, did you want to have a guess at how tall the Teletubbies are?
Well, I seem to recall that the person who played Tinky Winky...
So he would be the tallest. He's the purple one.
Yeah. He was in the news. He was in the papers, I think, at some point after the Teletubbies had been on initially. They were for something. I can't remember what now, but it was like tabloid press hounding him. Not very nice, that kind of thing. And I seem to remember that he was quite tall. I'm thinking like sort of 6'7".
Yeah.
But then I'm thinking he's in a suit. So maybe like he's like 7 foot.
Yeah. No, Tinky Winky was about 11 feet
what?
Tall.
What?
Because the suit is so big.
11? Sorry. 11 feet tall?
Yes. The Poe is the smallest one, was played by an actress who's only, I think, just over 4 feet. So Poe is 6 foot.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Whoa, that has completely shaken my thought.
So one of the things you said about, like, in this idyllic world that they're in, the only sort of reference point you have are the flowers, which you'll notice are all fake.
Yeah.
And the rabbits.
Yeah. The rabbits. Say, how big are these rabbits?
The rabbits are Flemish giants. So they're very much the colouring of like ordinary small rabbits you get in Britain, but they aren't. Flemish giants are like the size of a small dog.
Oh my God.
So the rabbits are massive.
See, now I want to have like a normal person walk into this set around them.
Yeah.
And it'd be like those bits in all the King Kong films where they inevitably go through the bit where they have all the giant sized animals.
Well, I can show you one picture, I think, of the Teletubbies being filmed, and you can see how tall Tinky Winky is there.
Oh my God, that's it! He's enormous.
Yeah.
Bloody hell!
That's a rabbit.
That is a very large rabbit. I mean, I still can't get over like the 11 foot tall Tinky Winky. That, because the thing is, they go down in scale. So Tinky Winky, the big purple one,
yeah,
and he's a very big purple one. He's the biggest at 11
yes.
foot. Then I'm guessing Dipsy is about 10 foot.
Yeah.
Lala must be about 9 foot. And, you know, and or like they're going down in
yeah.
like 6 foot kind of thing. You know, they're like...
I think I read somewhere Poe was 6 foot 7.
That's crazy. I mean, and with the antenna as well.
Well, no, I think that includes the antenna.
Okay.
Because otherwise that would be crazy.
But still, you're talking about Dipsy having like a 2 foot dong on his head.
Yes, yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
The actors are looking out of the mouths of the characters.
Right, okay. But the mouths aren't open all the time.
No. I don't think these actors had a good time.
It sounds it.
In fact, I think it was the guy who said, who played Tinky Winky. Said, this is going to ruin my spine. There's no amount of money you can offer me. Like, they, you know, obviously they've been rehearsing before these costumes arrived. There's no amount of money you can offer me to wear this all day. And they're like, oh, you're talking yourself out of a job, you know, you won't work again, sort of thing. And so he did it. But yeah, they and apparently in later series they had little seats installed in the costumes because these arses are so massive. They could have a little seat in there so they could just sit down.
Like a little shooting stick kind of thing.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. That's amazing. I mean, because this is the thing. They do a lot of running, a lot of climbing, a lot of falling over and stuff
yes.
as well in these suits.
Then
getting back up. It's impressive the speed with which they get back up, knowing that they're like giant spacesuit teddy bears.
There's lots of stuff I want to tell you about the people who are in the suits.
Okay.
Because I think they had a horrendous time, to be honest with you.
Oh.
So the sun baby's there. We're dancing about on the grassy knolls mm-hmm. and whatever. They introduce themselves, and so we meet the four of them. And this and Toya Wilcox does a little bit of the intro.
Yeah, there seem to be like three different people doing.
But then
voice
yeah,
like
and
this.
Then there's a different narrator. Again, they offer no explanation for this. It's not like, oh, we had to sack Toya halfway through, or she's the voice of the sun, or it doesn't. They just.
You know what I think probably has happened?
Hmm.
This smacks to me if they thought, okay, well, we'll have Toya and we'll do like the hello and the goodbye introduction, and then the rest of the episode will have no voiceover whatsoever. And then they filmed all that, they got Toya in, they paid her a day, she's done what she's done, she's gone, you know, thought nothing more of it, and then they've gone, oh crap, we need some more voiceover, and Toya's unavailable. She's got a hectic schedule, she yes. can't do it, and they're like, okay, we'll get Steve from the office to do some more voiceover.
The Teletubbies coexist with a number of strange contraptions, such as the voice trumpets. Now, these are these like speaker things that come up, shooting up out of the ground.
Yeah.
And I always thought they were wet and had beads of water in them. But those are just like irregular shaped speaker holes.
Yes, but they do. Yeah, I thought the same thing. I think looking back on it as a kid, I thought the same thing.
And they sort of say, oh, time for tubby toast. Now, how did you feel about the tubby toast?
I'll be honest, not very comfortable with. I mean, for one, yeah, they've got a picnic table with little disc seats, which aren't comfortable at all.
No, to sit on. Didn't look comfortable.
No matter how padded your ass is
yes.
in that suit. I did like the fact that it's a toaster with incredible accuracy to fling this toast across the room. I'd argue, though, it's not toast.
I thought you were going to say that because I don't think it looks like toast.
It looks like a cross between a vinyl seat cushion
yep.
and a potato smiley face.
Yes, because it's got a face on it.
Yeah.
And they have like a plate ring permanently on the table in front of them that the toast lands in.
And it's the exact same size as the...
Which is a design flaw because then you can't pick up your toast very easily.
Completely. Well, it reminds me of the first place we lived together was my last student digs. And we had a steel tray that was the exact size of an Asda 14-inch takeaway pizza.
Right.
So you could put it in there.
Do you think it was 14 inches then?
I think it was 14 inches.
Yeah.
But even if the pizzas weren't exactly, they were exactly the right size for this tray. But it meant you could never get the slice out easily. When you got one out, fine, you can get the rest out like it's, you know,
oh,
like
yeah, we
one
understand.
Of those sliding tile puzzles. But when they're all in there as full, you think, ah, damn, I should have left one piece out.
Yeah. We only actually saw them eat tubby toast. Because, of course, the other thing that they eat is tubby custard.
Yes.
Do you remember the tubby custard?
I did. When they did the tubby toast, I was like, ah, they also had tubby custard. I was disappointed not to see the tubby custard. From memory, it was pink.
Yes.
And it went everywhere.
Yes. It was very messy.
Mm.
Often had to be cleaned up by Nunu, who we also didn't meet, but was my favourite character.
Yep.
Nunu's a vacuum cleaner.
Yes.
Must be, you know, one of those ones that does wet and dry. Because he could do the custard. But yeah, Nunu is an anthropomorphic blue vacuum cleaner. That really doesn't tell you any more than we already knew.
No, he looks from memory like an iron lung on wheels.
Well, now that we're talking about the size of them, I'm sure he probably did. There was a man inside it. A full-size man.
I mean, to be honest, judging on the size of the Teletubbies, I'm surprised there wasn't a rugby team inside him. It'd be like a Chinese dragon kind of thing, you know? Like, oh, there's 14 people powering that along.
The episodes have these different sections, and I think there is quite a strict formula to it. We didn't watch enough, but I imagine if you were a parent at the time, you could have been able to recite some of this. But yeah, you say hello to them in the beginning. They come out and do their little Teletubbies dance, dive for Teletubbies, whatever. And then you have this sort of at home with the Teletubbies section,
yeah.
where you have toast in this episode. In the second episode, it was they're playing with their various, they all had a thing.
Yes.
Which we'll get to because I think there's a lot to talk about there. But yes, here it was toast. And then you have this windmill.
Yeah.
Spins. I kind of like the windmill because it's almost like magic is blowing in, you know, like in Mary Poppins where the, you know, it's like the wind changes and some new magic rolls in.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the first thing that it comes to is the part where their telly tummies light up.
I want to talk about this.
Oh, it's so bad.
I mean, when this windmill starts spinning and sparks start flying off it, And initially they seem scared. And they go running to the top of a hill.
Yes.
And then...
It's all just running up and down hills.
It is all running up and down hills. These poor actors. And then they get on the top of the hill, and yeah, their antenna light up, and they thrust their groins forward.
Well, they're thrusting their tummies forward.
But in order to do that, you have to thrust your groin. And for some of those Teletubbies, it's more clearly a groin thrust than it is a tummy thrust.
All right.
And so they're doing that and shouting their own names triumphantly as they do thrust.
Yes.
And then it picks a random one to be... It's kind of like Play Days and where, you know, it used to spin around and see which stop you were at.
Yeah.
It's that thing of, exactly. Oh, it's going to pick a random one there.
Yeah.
And then they all look in at the TV in the... Again, why they have TVs in their stomachs?
No, that's not... It doesn't offer any explanations for itself. And they don't make a thing of it. It's not like... you know, everything is TV themed in their world or something like that. It's literally, they have TVs in their stomachs, deal with it.
Get on board.
Get on board. Nobody's going to offer you any explanation. You get that lighting up of Tinky Winky's stomach, and you see it on, sort of projected on there, don't you, for a few seconds, this little kid playing, and then you go into the video. And so what we watch is a very poor home movie of a kid, basically, playing. And it was very weird to me. Yes, I assume his name is Ned. It was very weird to me to watch so much of a child who can't speak yet. He knows some words. Just watch him for ages, Will.
Well, I was in one of these videos as a kid, so it's what? Not... Have I not told you this?
I'm so sorry! Are you joking me right now?
No, I'm not. Not at all.
You were in a video that was on the Teletubbies.
No, it wasn't on the Teletubbies. It was a video like this. It was one of these, like, filmed as a, this is a thing, right? It was filmed as, like, a bit of, right, I'll go back and explain.
None of this is making sense.
Okay. In the village I grew up in, across the street from us, there was a guy who used to make videos.
Right. Okay. This is sounding like a very different story.
He got commissioned by the council to do a video.
Did he get commissioned by the council?
Yes, he got commissioned by the
council. Caught by the council.
He got commissioned by the council, damn you, to do a video. Basically, the idea was for parents of young children who are going to be starting school, to be like, okay, this is the kind of stuff you can expect. And because he lived across the road from us, he said to my mum and dad, would I mind being in it? So he came around and he filmed me and my mum. And basically, this was when I was in like year five or something. No, not year five, like year three, year two. So I was still fairly new to school, you know. And so it was things like, okay, you know, they filmed me like me tie my shoes and do my tie up with my mum's help. And then there were other things like, okay, you know, reinforce what your child is learning by getting them to help you with things like groceries. And so it had like, so my mum got a load of stuff out of a shopping bag and was like, okay, put them all in height order. So this kind of stuff. So reinforcing, getting me to count. And it was like, make sure to read with your children, talk, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it was a little video and it was narrated by a guy. It was like one of the local TV news presenters, that kind of thing. You know, we've got on VHS somewhere.
Aww.
Still here. And it's really, you know, it's a nice, for me, it's a nice little thing because it's me and my mum and, you know, it's me and the young from there. So for me, it's not that weird that there's this video of a kid, like, with a bike.
Oh, no. There's nothing weird about videoing your kid playing with a bike.
Yeah.
What's weird is that it's on the Teletubbies.
Yeah.
And that I, 25 years later, am watching it.
Well, that is weird. I'll give you that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm the weird one. Well, let's just run through what happens.
Okay, so Ned is on his scooter in the house. He's very excited. Then his dad brings in a full-size bike, flips it over, and gets Ned to start doing some bicycle maintenance for him.
Yes, Ned is literally about two.
Yeah, Ned's about 2 years old.
I instantly was like, is this telling me what I would be like as a parent? Because if I walked in on you and you were doing that with the kid, I'd be like, don't let him touch that, Will. He's going to get his fingers caught in the spokes. He's going to get his finger caught in that. That clip on the bicycle pump could hurt him. Why are you letting him touch that? All that is dirty. All those tyres have been on the road. That's so dirty. Can you just do it yourself and let him watch? And I thought, It's not good, like, as a parent, to be, like, quite that uptight. I mean, I don't even have a kid.
And the thing is, I imagine most parents start out like that because there's that terrifying fear of your child's going to injure themselves. And then you hit a point of going, they'll be all right.
Do you think they've got like three more? By the fourth one, they're like, they can live through anything.
Yeah, it'll be fine, probably. Yeah. I imagine by the time you get to your fourth, you're like, why aren't they out working yet? Get them earning a wage. Get them up those chimneys. So Ned's dad, so they've pumped up. I mean, this is the thing, putting the valve onto the tyre, you know, his dad's clearly there helping his hand there, so that I'm fine with. Then he's like, okay, pump it up for me. And it's just the kid with this full size, like, you know, that bicycle pump where he had to stand on it with both feet.
As big as the child.
As big as the child. And he does pump it once or twice and then falls over. Mm. And all you get from his dad is a, you all right?
Well, the kid's laughing, but the dad does say, are you all right? Like, to check that he's not crying. But, I mean, I would have been furious. I'd have stopped it all then. I'd be like, just look, he's going to hurt himself. For God's sake, Will.
Oh, but then poor Ned feels like it's his fault.
Yeah. You'd both hate me. You and the kid that we don't have. Anyway. Next in the dangerous activities that I wouldn't allow if it was my child, even though I don't have a child and don't know anything about children.
This, to my mind, is this. There's more chance of fingers being caught here, is let's assemble the bike trailer.
Yeah, it's one of those little kiddie trailers that goes after the bike.
Yeah.
And it's like sort of, you know, high vis.
Yeah, and it's basically, it's just canvas on like a tubular steel frame with two wheels on it. And they're out for a bike ride with Ned strapped in, looking out the back.
And on the road, Will. On the road. I don't mind it in the park. That's fine. When they go in the park, it's all right. But I don't want it on the road. It's cars right behind that. It's only two. God's sake.
I'm with you. But, you know, sometimes you've got to get on the road to get to the park.
Yes, but
and what's the solution? Don't go to the park at all? That's no fun for Ned.
It might not be any fun, but at least he's safe. Anyway, if it sounds like we remember quite a lot of detail from that short, boring film about a child going for a bike ride with his dad, it's because after we watched it, and I was really bored watching it, weren't you?
It's a very boring film.
It's quite boring because the dad's not talking. It's just this little kid going, and very slow, and, like, you know, you get the point as an adult. After we've seen it, Teletubbies all go, again, again, again. And I had this sudden dawning realisation that I remember that happening.
Yeah.
That after you've watched that film, they play it again, exactly the same. Nothing is added to it. Nothing is different. They don't, like, they literally just play it twice.
They don't play it at double speed. They don't play it in reverse.
Or
they,
like,
don't
with
play
captions
it.
Or, like, you know, look out for this, look out for this word. They're not teaching you words at this stage. You're too young. You're literally just watching things twice because your brain is not developed yet, so you need to, like...
They don't do the Eurovision thing where it follows on in French afterwards.
No,
you know,
nothing of that.
It is more fuel to the fire of let's create this show to piss off parents as much as possible.
Because kids already want to watch everything again, so just having it twice in the same episode directly after each other, it just feels cruel.
It is. It's cruel and unusual, Liz.
I think... Honestly, I sat down to watch this with my sister when she was very, very young, saw that happen, and just went, nope, never again. I will never watch the Teletubbies again. It's that again, again, again. Oh, no, 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 no.
I tell you, after the second time we watched it, I was really worried it was going to happen a third time. I was like, oh, God, but if this happens a third time, this might be the first time I say we turn it off. And we just abandoned the watch.
I looked at you and I said, we've never skipped forward before, have we?
Seriously tempting. Mm. It was sorely tempting. After that, we get another bit of around the valley of the Teletubbies where Poe is on his scooter and a flag appears.
Poe's on her scooter?
Sorry, Poe's on her scooter and a flag appears out of nowhere.
Yes. Sometimes magical objects will appear. That's a thing.
Right, okay.
This flag, what did you think had on it?
I thought it was an earthworm.
It's a pink snake. It's a penis. It's a penis flag.
I didn't want to say. I wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt of it's a worm on a flag.
It's a pink snake.
I mean, and the thing is, a pink snake is only a penis.
And this, I think, I actually found this bit a bit creepy because yeah. Poe's obviously the smallest and seems more somehow more vulnerable. And the narrator goes, right, so this is a big flag, on a flagpole in the ground. It's not a small, like, handheld one, mm-hmm. right? The narrator goes, Poe decided to wave the flag. Poe's decided nothing of the sort. but when she hears the narrator, she feels strangely compelled to do it. So she has to very clumsily pull this thing out of the ground. She's struggling. It's like, why is this guy in charge of commanding Poe to do stuff? There's a weird power dynamic that I hadn't expected. And then, right, they put in a shot of the baby looking on like, oh, yeah, that's what I wanted to happen. I think the baby's in charge of it all. There are lots of times when something will happen to the Teletubbies and the baby, they cut to the baby looking pleased with itself.
Yeah.
Now, why is this sun baby overlord making the Teletubbies do these things?
I mean, is the reason you only see the sun baby's face because the rest of the sun baby is pointing a gun at the Teletubbies or their relatives, forcing them to do this merry dance?
You know when you have that reveal of like a huge, like, massive, like, robot or something, and then there's like a just tiny mouse controlling the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you pull out from the sun baby, there's a massive, like, you know, got like, cranks and gears, like
the spider from Wild Wild West.
I didn't want to go to Wild Wild West. People think I have no taste in films. We all watched it though. We all thought it was going to be good. You know, we didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. It was Will Smith and Kevin Kline.
It was so hyped Branagh. Up. It was so hyped up.
It was.
Everybody watched that fucking movie.
But yeah, it's a weird thing because it almost seems like the preface to something else. One day a flag appeared. Suddenly an army of invaders came across the land.
Penis invaders. Penis. It's a penis flag.
It's an invasion of penises.
This show is so strange that wouldn't have seemed out of place.
No. I would have been all right. Yeah, that seems fairly routine.
They then take the flag into the Tubbytronic Superdrome.
I still can't believe it's called that.
Yes. They sort of march in, and Poe, obviously, you know, it gets caught on this doorway mm-hmm. because it's quite large. And Poe staggers back and knocks Tinky Winky, who's joined her, down.
Yeah.
This whole section. It's classic slapstick comedy, isn't it? You know, you walk into something and knock somebody down. It's a classic.
Oh, yeah.
Classic
it's like The Plank with Eric Sykes and what's his face?
Norman Wisdom,
Eric Sykes, you know, doing The Plank. That's what that is.
And there is quite a funny bit where they manage to get it into this doorway. And then Dipsy and Lala are going, where have they gone? Where have they gone? Where have they gone? And you just see it poke out of the top of the Tubbytronic Superdrome. And it's just waving in the background. That was quite funny.
That was funny, yeah. A sight gag like that is always going to be funny. And then just as quick as the flag's there, it disappears.
Well, the windmill gets going again.
Yeah.
And it's like I say, this sort of new magic blows in and takes that away. And then something very strange happens that I do remember. Which is a parade of animals 2x2.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Yep. It means nothing because the Tubbies don't sort of like interact with it. They're CGI, very badly rendered CGI mm-hmm. animals. I mean, probably they're all right for 97, but now it looks shit. So yeah, they go 2x2.
There's no logic or reason to it.
This show refuses to explain itself. It doesn't say, and now the animals parade. You know, they could easily have the narrator go, and now, you know, the traditional display of exotic zoo animals.
This is whose flag it was. Or, now the flag's been gone, the animals can come along. Something like that. Nothing. It doesn't need to make sense.
No, it's not going to give you anything.
No, it doesn't need to make sense. It could just be nonsense, but anything. It's just a complete absence of anything on that.
How did you feel about Time for Tubby Bye Bye?
Oh, Liz, Time for Tubby Bye Bye. I'll be honest, it was a relief when it came.
Yeah.
What really annoyed me about it is we've already had, again, watched the film twice.
Yeah.
We now have to say goodbye three sodding times.
Three times.
Three times. They say goodbye all from behind these hills.
So, yeah, the individual goodbyes as well, not one goodbye.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Goodbye to each Teletubby. But
say goodbye, Tinky Winky. Bye-bye. And he goes down. Say goodbye, Dipsy. Bye-bye.
But Dipsy does a move.
Dipsy has swag.
Dipsy does have swag.
If you analyse the dances of the four of them at the beginning, what I'm going to say to you is three of them vaguely wave their arms. Dipsy does something that could be in Fortnite or a TikTok trend or something.
Right, so we've met the Teletubbies now, so let's talk a bit more about them, because even though they are all clearly the same identifiable species, they do look different.
There is race in the Teletubbies. Dipsy is black.
Right, okay.
So Teletubbies' race is based on the people that are inside the Teletubby. So they've cast the four actors, then they've put like a nod to their appearance. Let me tell you about the actors that played them. So let's start with Dipsy, because we've mentioned Dipsy there. He's played by someone called John Simmet, who is black, and he is a comedian. So he does a lot of stand-up comedy. You know, he's still a comedian and promotes a lot of comics as well.
Okay.
Lala is played by a lady called Nikki Smedley, who's done lots of dancing, choreography, as well as acting and stuff like that.
Smedley is one of those surnames that I feel has, like, gone by the wayside.
I don't know what you mean.
I feel like it's a very 90s surname, Smedley. I feel like there, in, like, TV shows, there are a lot of Smedleys.
Okay, Will. Okay. Poe is played by Pui Fan Lee, who... She does a lot of presenting now.
Okay.
But she was also, you know, an actor, acted in things. She was the one who, you might remember this, the papers wrote that she'd done porn because they wanted basically to have like an outrageous story about some of the Teletubbies doing porn.
Oh my
and
God.
It was literally just that because she's an actress, she went on and did some other shows, and in one of them there was a sex scene. That was literally all there was to it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so that actress has a Cantonese background, and so Poe is Cantonese and sometimes says words in Cantonese.
Oh, okay.
And then there's Tinky Winky. Tinky Winky's the only one who was played by two different people in the original series.
Okay.
They're all played by different actors now that it's been revived, but Tinky Winky was played in the first series by Dave Thompson, and then he was sacked and replaced by Simon Shelton. So now this is interesting, because if we move on to the second episode, we were going to talk about their like little, the individual things that they have.
Mm-hmm.
So if people remember, Dipsy, the green one, has a black and white hat, quite a vibrant zebra print hat. That's his thing. Lala has a ball, a big orange ball.
Yep.
Poe has her scooter.
Mm-hmm.
Tinky Winky had a bag, like a handbag.
Yes.
So you may remember there was some controversy.
I do remember there was some controversy over Tinky Winky having a handbag and being a male Teletubby with a handbag. Yeah, I remember people were up in arms about this.
Apparently the original actor got the sack.
Right.
Was told that his performance wasn't what they wanted, even though he'd obviously been working on it for months and whatever else. But basically, he felt that because he was in this very large, fat character, he was going to be sort of dainty with it. He feels in a kind of Oliver Hardy type way. So if you watch Laurel and Hardy, you see Oliver Hardy sometimes does very sort of small, effeminate sort of movements.
Yes.
It's, you know, it, against the largeness of the body type, it's funny.
Yeah.
So in his performance, he was bringing maybe a more effeminate feel than they were happy with, which combined with the like flack they were going to get with him having a handbag, because they've said he's not gay, they don't have like sexuality, he just has a magic bag.
I'd go with that. I'd believe that.
The show's creators have said that, but
as we've learned, they're not in the habit of explaining anything. They don't have to.
No. I think now Dave Thompson, obviously, because they reused so much footage, his performance was still being used in later series, and he sort of had to sue them to get some extra money about it. But I have to read you this quote I found from him. So he was also a comedian, and he hadn't necessarily wanted to do this. Like, comedians quite often go for little acting roles, you know, to pay the bills. I don't think he necessarily thought he was going to get stuck being a Teletubby for years and years and years. But once he'd done a lot of work in it, obviously he wanted to stay. But I have to read you this quote he said. This is him being interviewed many years later. I wasn't given any clues as to what I was doing wrong. I was officially asked to leave in a letter from an accountant just before everyone else went off to the end of shooting Rat Party. Although I'd already been given the idea that they might let me go, the two directors had told me they were happy with Tinky Winky, and I felt I was doing my best. I am proud of my work for them. I was always the one to test out the limitations of the costume. I was the first to fall off my chair and roll over. I took all the risks.
New to this game, son. I invented rolling down a hill.
I love that. He's taking all the risks. He's out there falling over.
Calling him Nunu, that was my idea. They wanted to call him Henry Hoover. I said, you can't do that, it's taken.
So yes, the second actor to play it, Simon Shelton, sadly passed away now. He played it after the first 70 episodes. He would have been the one who toured with them when they went to America, and he said something like they were the Beatles of television. So it was, the reaction to them was so huge. But I do remember it being, you know, an hysterical time for Teletubbies. You know, fever.
It was. Everyone went absolutely mad for it. It really... I don't know what it was about it that just... It feels like one of these things that... There are things that followed after it, like in The Night Guard and other stuff, which just seemed to be a case of take that formula of characters with nonsensical names who don't really need to speak too much and go with that for like TV for toddlers.
Mm.
You know, whereas other things are much more driven by here's a storyline, here's a lot of dialogue, everything else. And if the kids are too young to get that dialogue, well, that's on the kids. They should be older.
Anyway, so we were talking about their items that they all have. And I sort of scooted over Poe's scooter. But it's the most annoying one because it has a squeaky wheel.
Oh.
And this wheel squeaks. Again, this is part of it not being for adults, just being for kids. This wheel squeaks over and over for probably about a solid minute, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, they say Poe loves going around on her scooter. And, yeah, just oil it. Just something.
Somebody oil her wheels, yeah. I'm not sure what the point of Poe and her squeaky wheel was. She just squeaks around for ages, doesn't she?
Yeah, I think that's just it's just another Teletubbies at home.
Yes, Teletubbies at home with the Teletubbies. So next, you know, the windmill gets blowing again, and it's more Teletubby vision, mm-hmm. right? I was very worried about this, considering the last segment in the Ned's bicycle. Yeah. But this time it's slightly different. It's not a toddler talking. We see some kids, mm-hmm. but they are with the funny lady. Now, I didn't remember the funny lady.
I didn't either, no.
But apparently she comes back a few times. Her name is Tasmin.
Right.
Or Tamsin. I can't distinguish those two names. And this has been a problem
Sorry.
For me in life.
Sorry. I know Tamsin is a name. I didn't know Tasmin was a name.
Tasmin is also a name because when I worked at HMV, which I did for a while, I often worked on the classical music section, and there was a classical... either singer or violinist, I don't know, whatever she was, she would go through phases where everybody was asking about her. And even though they would say Tasmin or Tamsin, I think they would say Tasmin and I would type Tamsin because I'm more familiar with Tamsins.
Yeah.
And I'd say, nope, nothing by her. And then I would go, no, wait, because I know this name. And you just, I wasn't doing like a Google search. I was searching on a MS-DOS system, whatever HMV had at the time. So you had to get it exactly right. And every time, Tamsin and Tasmin. Anyway, I don't know what this woman's name was.
I thought they said Tamsin.
Okay, fine. I know I have that blind spot, so I'm always looking out for it now.
I don't think I've ever met a Tasmin. But she's gathered them all together, these kids, and she's telling a story.
I hated this, possibly more than Ned's bicycle.
Wow, okay, that is strong. I mean, I didn't like this, but I didn't mind it so much as Ned's bicycle.
The thing is, when I was watching Ned's bicycle, I thought it's kind of sweet that even though I don't understand what this baby is saying, you know, I'm getting the odd words that he's saying, but I'm getting the vibe. I was like, it's kind of nice that this is a show made for toddlers. They can actually hear toddler language, because I understand that they don't need to hear that all the time. You know, they need to hear people speaking in order to, like, their speech get better. But it must be kind of nice to see yourself on the TV. Do you know what I mean? I was like, I can see why they might benefit from going, oh, as a little child, just like me, I'm going to watch what they're doing and, you know, see something. Whereas this is just annoying. Just an annoying woman. She's an adult who, you know, her career hasn't taken off in the direction she wanted. So she's got this gig and now she's going to be a right old bitch about it. Oh, God, I couldn't stand her. I wanted to kill her.
So, I mean, brass tacks, basically, the story she's telling is that...
She isn't telling a story. There's no fucking story to this. It's no story. It's not a book in front of her, right? She just goes. She goes, what am I doing here? Oh, you lot, load of kids around me. Better tell a story, is it? Somebody's birthday. Oh, it's a bear. Teddy bear. You like bears. Kids like bears. Teddy bear's birthday today, isn't it? Oh, where's the naughty bee? I've got... They told me I had to put a naughty bee in somewhere. Oh, here he is. Here he comes, naughty bee. And then somebody's got a bee on a string, right? Bee comes and she goes, Teddy bear's going to be here soon. Go and wrap the present. I can't be bothered to wrap the present because I'm a funny lady. Go and wrap the present and I'm going to have a sleep. So she lies down for 40 winks, right? The bee buzzes off and then it comes back. The bee never speaks. The bee never has any kind of autonomy in this story.
Well, it's a bee.
It's no agency, right? So she's given it this gold ribbon to put on the present. It comes back. It's still got the gold ribbon. Oh, you naughty bee. Right, you don't know what's happened here. Establish the facts before you start on the bee, right? She doesn't ask any questions like, couldn't you find the present? Is there a trouble with the present? What, you know, naughty bee, go away and don't come back until you've wrapped the present. So this bee goes buzzing off again. She's like, oh, now I'm going to have 30 winks. Right, don't play that game, because there's no phrase of 30 winks. That's not how that phrase works. Don't confuse children, right? Bee comes back again. Right, it's still got the gold ribbon. Oh, you naughty bee. Right, it's not naughty. It's clearly it's got problems, all right? It's got trouble. You haven't asked it any questions. So she sends it off again, right? Now it's 20 winks, and I'm like, oh, I don't like that. She's done that again, right? Bee comes back a third time. It still hasn't got the present. Right, now I'm getting cross.
Now you're getting cross.
There is a device called Rule of Three, right? This is, and it just is, Rule of Three.
Mm-hmm.
You do one, two, and then the funny one, yep. Okay? So, and it has to be that way. So the third time, it should have come back with something different, but it doesn't. It just comes back again with the gold ribbon. So now I'm annoyed because they've broken Rule of Three. And what I was really hoping was that they weren't going to do it like six times. We're just going to see the bee going back and forth and then play this whole thing again. Because remember, I've just watched the first episode in which I was tortured with a child and a bicycle and then they all went again. And now the actual thing that they're showing me is repetitive as fuck. And I'm thinking, if you say again, I'm going to lose my shit. So the third time it comes back, she actually talks to the bee. I don't know what she establishes, but she takes the ribbon off him and she goes, go and get the present. You want me to do it, you lazy bee, right? So the bee goes off and gets the honey and comes back We never find out why the bee, because she doesn't even do any wrapping. She just sticks the thing on the top. I mean, maybe it didn't do it, love, because it hasn't got thumbs, all right? It's a bee. But she never, there's no, this isn't a narrative, Will. How dare you say she tells a story? How dare you? And then, right, she never gives voice to this bee. All she does is harass it and call it naughty. But then as soon as the bear pops up, she gives the bear a voice, a very Tory voice, I might add. Right, "Ooh, hello, I'm Mr. Bear. I read the Telegraph. I love to wear Harris tweed and shoot foxes. Oh, no, I can't do that one anymore. Tony Blair gets in this year." Anyway, right, unbelievable segment. Hated it. Hated every second of it. Anyway, that bear didn't even look like it wanted that, honey. That's what the present is. So again, right, she's saying naughty bee, but the bee's obviously produced that, honey. She's done fuck all. She's claiming credit. She gives it to this bear, which is a stuffed bear. It can't react, but she does this voice for it. And then, right, she's got all these kids around her. She's like, "Who wants tea?" She's got all these teacups there, and they're all like, "Yeah, yeah," like kids do. She gives the first girl a cup. Now, this is obviously, it's all fake, so there's nothing in it. That girl gives her such a side eye. I was like, she knows this woman's getting money for old rope here. This whole segment was worthless. She knows. She's only about 7, but she gets it. And that, so she gives them all the, she's only got 4 teacups, she's got about 8 kids, gives them out, and, you know, they pretend to, and then she goes, "Who wants a biscuit?" They all get their hopes up again, and then she gives them an empty biscuit barrel, and they're all like, "Ah, yeah," pretending. Like, why disappoint these children? Why did the BBC pay to have those children brought there to disappoint them? Anyway, the only upside to this whole segment is that the Teletubbies thought it was as bad as I did. So when it finishes, they don't shout again. They go, "Fucking hell, that was shit." Don't subject the kids to that again. Just move on. Move on. Guys, we got anything else planned? That was crap. Total crap. Don't play the funny lady. Crap.
I get the feeling, Liz, you're quite like that girl at the end who gives her the side eye with the empty cup of tea.
Yeah. Don't offer me fake food. You'll regret it. Do you ever play, like, tea parties? I think it's more of a girl thing.
Yeah, I think I got involved in some with girls that...
Oh, okay. Let's hear about that, then. I don't remember playing tea parties.
Well, no, it's fake food, as we've established. You're not keen on that.
No.
You were a very alert... We've established before, you were a very alert child.
No, I wasn't. Alert sounds wrong. Sounds like I was ready for action. I was very logical.
Yeah, very logical child.
Fiercely logical.
Do you want to play tea party? There's nothing in this cup. Excuse me. Excuse me, madam.
This is all fake. This is a sham.
I will not stay at this tea party of lies. The whole thing with, you know, from the idyllic enclosed setting with the hills to the giant rabbits, to the weird fauna and flora, and the pipes that come out of the ground and start talking, to the repetitive videos designed to sap your will, it did make me feel a lot like maybe this is a modern take on The Prisoner.
Oh, yes. Well, Lala's got that giant ball.
Yeah. Lala's got the giant sphere that, you know, to chase people with. You know, there's constant monitoring. They always know what's going on. You know, the flag in the first episode randomly appearing, you know, the windmill that's always omnipresent, you know, that's...
Well, at the beginning, they do count themselves in. They are 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And then all you need is, you know, Nunu presumably is 5.
Yeah.
And then you need Magooan there as a 6. I'm not a number. I'm a free Teletubby. Magooan. Patrick Magooan.
Oh, I thought you said Magoo. I was like, Magoo?
Mr. Magoo. Have Mr. Magoo in there. Again, no explanation necessary. Just have him in there.
Yeah.
I was very glad they didn't do the again with that whole
bit. I couldn't have taken it. I was... My finger was on the fast forward. I could not have taken it.
Now, after this, we get a little more of Poe on her scooter.
A lot more of the scooter. Poe on her scooter with a squeaky wheel. It's unbelievable. And they sort of chase her around Benny Hill style.
Yeah, they do.
I wanted the Benny Hill music on that.
I agree. I think this is the thing, right? This, from the repetition to everything being slow, I get it. Maybe you're thinking, okay, toddlers need more time to take things in.
Mm.
But it does feel like this would benefit from being sped up. Run it at double speed, you know?
Run it at double speed. You can do that nowadays. You could do that on YouTube.
Yeah.
I wonder if you put this on double speed in front of a kid, whether it would have any ill effects on them. There were people at the time who were very worried that, you know, because it didn't have proper language, that, you know, it would damage kids, because it was developed with the opposite in mind, that, you know, they actually researched what kids need and they realised for very young children that they don't need to tell a lot of story. What they needed was the colourful, bright, you know, things and, yeah, not a lot of plot or language. But I know when it came out, people were like, oh, you know, it's gonna, all that baby talk that they do is gonna stop kids from learning. Can you imagine that if there was just a generation of kids who, because they watched the Teletubbies, you just went into a business meeting and they were like, uh-oh. They just never learned properly because they watched too much Teletubbies when they were younger.
I mean, that would be incredible, and just that way to identify it. Oh, hello there. Uh-oh. Oh, I see you're part of the Teletubby generation.
Oh, okay. Yes, all right. Don't worry, I have it in large pictures. You get to any other business, and they're just looking confused. You go, time for Tubby bye-bye. Time for Tubby bye-bye.
Sorry, John, can we repeat item 3? Again, please?
Again. The funny lady wasn't the again, but we do have a sort of repeated thing.
God.
They're doing some sort of formation dancing.
Yes, they are. And again, this is another, like, weird, you know, prisoner, Wicker Man, Midsummer-esque thing.
Yeah.
In this weird commune they live in with their Tubbytronic 5000, whatever the hell it is.
Superdrome. They have these fixed grins as well, which I always think when you are dancing makes it, gives the creepy vibes. And yeah, the fact that we watch the same footage over and over.
Yeah. And well, they do a bit where they smack into each other and there appears to be like the sound of like bells and like jangling. Like they're mechanical underneath.
Yeah, maybe they were supposed to be and then they changed that. I don't know.
This is the thing. It really smacks a lot of this of being done entirely by committee, you know, of like, and just endlessly changed and changed and changed until you get with this weird mishmash of these ideas.
Well, it was going to be the Telly Teddies, but that was an idea that was already copyrighted. So they were going to be like teddies.
Right.
Who had tellies. Then instead they changed it to Tubbies.
See, because
part of me
now thinks that Tubby Tellies would have been a better one because they are Tubby Televisions.
Yes. Tubby Tellies.
Yeah. Tellies would have made more sense. But as we've seen, they don't go in for making sense on this show.
No, they don't. So then, you know, before you know it, it is time for Tubby Bye-Bye.
Don't say before you know it. It's not before you know it.
It's quite long episodes, isn't it?
It's well overdue for Tubby Bye-Bye.
So, see, when you contrast this, right, with when we watched the Poddington Peas, right, well, how many episodes did we find out there were?
There's like 23 or something like that. It's a crazy small amount of episodes.
And like they're 5-minute episodes.
Yeah.
And we found like this extensive world that we had imagined of the Poddington Peas boiled down to, yeah, like an hour's worth of television max.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Teletubbies, these are 25-minute episodes.
Oh, my God.
And they made nearly 500 of them.
Bloody hell. That is shocking.
And almost nothing happens. Almost nothing happens. And it happens over and over again.
Yes.
So in the original run, they were 25-minute episodes, and there were almost 400 of them. And then they've brought it back, so that's where the extras
that's
100 episodes have come from.
That's just a ridiculous amount of episodes.
Yeah. Well, this is why nobody can agree what the seasons are, because the first series according to Wikipedia, had 118 episodes, but they commissioned it. They wanted 365 episodes, one to show every day. And then they were like, we won't need any more than that because kids will grow out of it so quickly. We'll just repeat them, which does make sense. But why do you want one for every day?
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to stick it on Christmas Day, are you?
Well, anyway, this new series, we didn't watch any of that, but there is a major difference that I just wanted to bring up to you, which is the Tiddlytubbies.
Sorry?
The Tiddlytubbies?
Is that like a euphemism?
They are baby Teletubbies.
Right. How big are they? 8 feet?
I don't know. Their names are Mimi, Dada, Bar, Ping, Ruru, Nin, Dougal D, and Umby Bumby.
I don't know how many you said there. I can't tell if that's like eight names or three.
Eight.
Okay.
They're being baby Teletubbies. Does tend to raise the question of how do Teletubbies reproduce?
Yes.
Because whilst they're like in the original series, you can imagine them just, you know, springing forth fully grown.
Yeah.
But if there can be baby ones called Tiddlytubbies, then the Teletubbies are adults. What I'm really asking you here is, as Tinky Winky shagged Poe.
No, I don't believe Tinky Winky shagged Poe.
I feel like there was a bit of a vibe between the two of them when they were carrying that flag.
Well, I think, you know, I think that there's, I think that I don't know, I thought of them as like brothers and sisters.
Did
like,
you?
This is a familial thing rather than like, you know, anything untoward.
No, I didn't.
No, you thought.
If I had to couple them up, and I wish I didn't, because in the original thing, I would have said, oh yeah, they're children. But if I had to put them in couples, Tinky Winky goes with Poe, and then Dipsy and La La have got more of a, you know,
vibe. Yeah, I can see that. You
wouldn't put Dipsy with Poe, would you?
No,
there's no chemistry.
No, not
it's just all. Not there.
No. Dipsy and La La. I agree with you. That is the natural pairing if you're going to pair them off.
It's weird, isn't it?
It is weird because yeah, but also the fact they're Tiddlytubbies and not Tiddly Teletubbies says to me, are they even actually Teletubbies? Are they a different species of
Tubby?
Well,
they could be, because from what I'm seeing when I'm Googling and stuff, it doesn't seem like they're real. Like, the Teletubbies are still played, as far as I can see, by people in suits. Or maybe they're not. Maybe nothing's real.
Maybe this is all just a fever dream.
And then the Tiddlies are CGI.
Right. Well, that would suggest to me the Tiddlytubbies are a different species to the Teletubbies.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe it's like a Fraggle Rock thing where you've got the Fraggles and then the Doozers.
I suppose it could be. It could be.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's all we've got to say on Teletubbies.
Well, then let's go to the question. Liz, Teletubbies, how do you like me now?
Well, I genuinely don't know what to say about this. Obviously, I didn't like it. I did not like it. But adults never liked it. It was hard to watch for an adult. But I can see that they've done something. You know, they've done something that definitely appeals to kids because it was enormously popular.
I take your point. Counterpoint.
Okay.
I absolutely hated this.
Yeah?
Absolute. Like, we've watched a lot of things where I, you know, maybe didn't like it as a kid and gone back and I can see the merit. I can see, you know, I can see the positives of it. Sometimes it's a big shock and I can see something that's actually really good or I can see what they're trying to do. This to me is a camel. It's a shit camel at that. Right?
Can you just expand on what you mean by camel?
Okay. A camel is a horse built by committee.
Yes.
Right? So that idea that committee is an imperfect vision. This, to me, smacks of someone had an idea, and then it went through testing and committee and testing and a screening panel and some execs and a load of people who know sod all about television, and they arrived at this horrible, slow, boring, repetitive car crash just designed to inflict pain and suffering on the parents of young children.
No, I think you're wrong. I think you're absolutely wrong. I don't think that was how it was made. It doesn't sound like it at all from reading about it. And I know we were joking that it was made to annoy parents, but I think it was just made without parents in mind. It was made purely for kids. I think that's a good thing.
So you think maybe it's a rejection of the old school, the pervasive watch with mother idea that's come through, where actually, sure, if you're going to be watching with mother, have something for mother in there as well.
I really didn't like the way you said, have something for mother in there. Really didn't. I didn't appreciate that. Okay. Yeah, so no, I think it's genuinely made purely with the kids in mind. And if anybody at any point has gone, will adults get really annoyed by this? They've gone, doesn't matter, we're making a show for the kids. And I think that's a good thing. And it obviously works because it's been enormously popular and it's still on.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. I take your point on. I stand by my criticism of it.
Fair enough. I understand. But I have to say, I think it has stood the test of time. And much as I have never enjoyed it and never will, I can see it has its place.
All right. Well, there we are then. Liz, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. Until then, bye.